Good evening. It is certainly good to come back together again this evening to worship our God. What a beautiful song, I stand in awe of you. And it's a wonderful occasion for us to come together to worship our God, to sing praise His name, and to edify one another in our worship here. I don't know about you, but I'm excited about Thursday. Turkey and dressing, cranberry sauce, sweet potatoes. I'm getting excited just talking about it. And I know that we're all excited, and many of us have plans to meet with family and to talk about being thankful for different things. And it's an occasion that our nation has set aside to give thanks for the blessings that the Lord has blessed upon us. We know that our nation started with pilgrims and establishing a feast, and think about those things. And it wasn't until 1863 when President Lincoln set it forth as officially a national holiday. And ever since then, the fourth Thursday, we do that. And tonight, I want us to talk about Thanksgiving, but not necessarily just the holiday. I want us to think about an attitude of gratitude that we ought to have at all times. And we're going to basically look at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20. We're going to basically camp out here at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20. We're going to break down this verse, and we're going to look at these things. We know that many churches may have special events around this holiday, and if the Lord had wanted us to do that, He would have told us. But He does tell us some things here in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 20 that we need to keep in mind, not only Thursday, but every single day of every single year that we live here upon this earth. And so let's start examining this verse. Here's what it says. Giving thanks always for all things unto God, the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to start with the first phrase. Giving thanks. First of all, we need to recognize that giving thanks is a command of God. You know, really and truly, we should be appreciative to what God has given us, even if there were not a command. But we do have a command. And our Lord's attitude is shown to us. He illustrates it so well in Luke chapter 17. Let's go there. Luke chapter 17. And we'll begin in verse 11. Luke 17, verse 11. This is the occasion where Jesus cleanses 10 lepers. And He illustrates this point so very well on this occasion. Begin with verse 11. On the way to Jerusalem, He was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as He entered a village, He was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And when He saw them, He said to them, "Go and show yourself to the priest." And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving Him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And He said to him, "Rise, go your way, your faith has made you well." Jesus makes a point that He healed 10 lepers. Only one of those came back and thanked Jesus for what He had done. The other 9 went on about their way. I'm sure they were excited. I'm sure that they were, you know, just couldn't believe what had happened. But this one gave thought to being thankful for what Jesus had done. He came back, made the effort to come back and tell Jesus thank you. And, of course, praising God in that effort. I know many of us as parents, when our children are very, very small, and people will give things to our children, and we are constantly, when they're real little, tell them thank you. Tell them thank you. Tell them thank you. Over and over again. And we're hoping that lesson will stick. That eventually our children will start saying thank you on our own. And that's an important lesson for us to teach our children. Is to tell other people thank you. But most importantly, to thank God for the blessings that He has blessed us with. And so we're given the commandment, giving thanks. The next part of verse we want to focus in on is just the word always. This word describes when we should give thanks. The answer is always we are to give thanks. This idea is expressed over in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4, if you'll flip over there with me. Philippians chapter 4, begin with verse 4 and going through verse 6. Rejoice in the Lord when? Always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication. What's it say next? With thanksgiving, let your request be known to God. You know, oftentimes, when we're praying, we're asking God for something. And He wants us to. He tells us to, right here, to ask Him. Please talk with me. Please pray to me. Please make your request known to me. Please ask things. But what's it also say here? With thanksgiving. We need to have a mindset that God's already blessed us with so much. And as we're asking Him for more things, be mindful of the things that He's already blessed us with. And when are we to do that? We're to do that always. We need to always recall what has been done for us and then give thanks. The next part of verse we want to look at is for all things. This is what we should be thankful for. And all things includes so many things. We're going to look at a few things that are included in the all things unto God. First of all, we should be thankful for God's grace. You know, God did not have to love us and give His Son for us, but He did. He did not have to extend His grace toward us, but He did. And we need to always be thankful for God's grace. Oh, what a wonderful blessing. And we never, 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 never need to underestimate or undervalue the blessing of God's grace. Be thankful for God's grace. We also need to be thankful for a Savior. Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins. And without Him doing that, we have no hope. And so we always need to be thankful that God provided us a Savior in His Son, Jesus Christ. We also need to be thankful during the Lord's Supper. This morning we partook of the Lord's Supper. We thought back and had a memorial to Him and to remember Him. And also the Lord's Supper is a time of thanksgiving, to thank God for the blessing of the sacrifice of His Son. And so the Lord's Supper is definitely an appropriate time for us to reflect and reflect with thanksgiving as we think about that. We need to be thankful for the church. You know, God provided the plan of salvation, as we've talked about already. And He didn't leave us say, well, okay, here's the plan of salvation. Good luck. No, He provides the church so that we can come together. We can get to know one another. That we can lean upon one another. We can have a support system and a family of God that we can rely upon one another. We can encourage one another. We can edify one another through the church. And so what a wonderful blessing that God provides for us through His church. And we need to be thankful for the church. We need to be thankful for people's obedience to the gospel. Thursday night was a very late night for some of us. But I'm so thankful for the obedience of one who came wanting to obey God from the heart. And whenever we hear about someone rendering obedience to the gospel, we need to be joyful. We need to be thankful. We need to praise God for those wonderful occasions. People's obedience to the gospel is always a time to be thankful for God's word and what it does in the lives of people. We also need to be thankful for the faithfulness of others. You know what? Many times I hear bad news about friends in different places that are Christians that are no longer faithful to God. And you know, you heard about so-and-so. They've left the Lord. Oh, you've heard about so-and-so that they've done this. And that is discouraging when you hear that. And you pray for them and you think about them. We need to do what we can to try to encourage them to be faithful to God. But at the same time, there's so many people that their faithfulness to the Lord is such an encouragement. You know, sometimes I might go preach at different places and it might be quite some time between my visits, and I go there and the same people are there. They're still faithful to the Lord. That's an encouragement. And we need to be thankful for the faithfulness of others. We need to be thankful for the leaders of our nation and our communities and our state who allow us to freely worship. I have no fear of any type of government agents coming in and telling us that we need to disperse this assembly. What a blessing. There are some of our brothers and sisters in Christ that don't have that blessing. And we need to continue to pray for them and that they may have courage. But they're thankful that they have that opportunity even without the blessing of their government. But that's one of the things that our nation has built upon. But, you know, that may or may not last for much longer. But it may. I don't know. But it doesn't matter. We need to be thankful for what we have right now. And that we are allowed to come together to worship God. We need to thank God for the opportunities that we have to suffer for Christ's sake. You know, I think it was a week or two ago that Ben talked to our young people, our teenagers. And we often focus on the teenagers when we talk about, you know, peer pressure and things of that nature and those kind of things. But that's something that everybody struggles with. That's things that socially that we may be persecuted for Christ's sake. And our attitude should not be of one of, oh, woe is me. This is an opportunity. We need to be joyful for those opportunities that we have to suffer for Christ's sake. That's exactly what the apostles did when they were beaten. That they rejoiced that they were counted worthy to suffer for God's sake. And so that should be our attitude toward those things, to be thankful for those opportunities to suffer for Christ's sake. You'll notice these things that we've talked about, a majority of these things are spiritual things. And we need to be thankful for those spiritual things, but we also need to be thankful for the temporal blessings that God blesses us with. Everything that we have. And I know that there are people here who work very hard at their jobs. They put in a full day's work and plus many hours to be able to provide for their families, to be able to have the things that they have. But we need to realize where all those blessings come from. Everything that we have. And we're reminded of that often when we come together and we talk about these things. All the possessions that we have, God blesses us with. And oftentimes, we're reminded of all the blessings that we have when we have visiting preachers from countries like in Africa and in South America and other places. When they come and they share their report and we look at the living conditions that some of those are in. We remember Ben when he returned from Zimbabwe and he shared some of the things that they experienced there. And the people there are thankful for the grass huts that they have. And it reminds us of how richly blessed that we are in this nation. And we need to praise God for that. We need to give glory to God for that and be thankful. Give thanks for those temporal blessings. And then this list does not cover everything, but it does now. All things. Everything else that I may not have listed, our passage says, Ephesians 5, verse 20, giving thanks for all things. And so this is just a few of the things that we have thought of. Back before Facebook, and I know some of you may be saying, what, you mean Facebook used not to exist? Yeah. Before Facebook existed, we used to just send each other emails from time to time with different things. And I came across this email back in 2001, and I looked up at the top of the page, and it was printed out in September of 2001. And it just reminds us of the perspective, the attitude of gratitude that we ought to have. And some of the things that we sometimes consider a headache or a bother or something we don't want to deal with, but when you really have the attitude of gratitude as we ought to have, you're thankful for those things. And I believe that this was written by a what we call stay-at-home mom who's raising her children. And this is what it says. I am thankful for the husband who complains when his dinner is not on time because he is with me and not with someone else. I'm thankful for the teenager who is complaining about doing dishes because it means she is at home and not on the streets. I am thankful for the taxes that we pay, but because it means that I am employed. I am thankful for the mess to clean after a party because it means that I have been surrounded by friends. I am thankful for the clothes that fit a little too snug because it means I have enough to eat. I'm thankful for my shadow that watches me work because it means that I'm out in the sunshine. I'm thankful for the lawn that needs mowing, windows that need cleaning, and the gutters that need fixing, because it means I have a home. I'm thankful for the complaining that I hear about the government, because it means that we have freedom of speech. I'm thankful for the parking spot I find at the far end of the parking lot, because it means I'm capable of walking and that I've been blessed with transportation. I'm thankful for my huge heating bill, because it means that I am warm. I'm thankful for the lady behind me in church that sings off key because it means that I can hear. I'm thankful for the pile of laundry and the ironing because it means I have clothes to wear. I'm thankful for weariness and aching muscles at the end of the day because it means I've been capable of working hard. I'm thankful for the alarm that goes off in the early morning hours because it means that I am alive. You know, when we think about our attitude of gratitude that we ought to have, our whole perspective changes. And I believe that God, through His Word, through these passages and many others, is letting us know how grateful, how thankful that we ought to be. And I think that's one of the major issues that He had with the children of Israel as they were leaving Egypt and wandering in the wilderness. They're murmuring and they're complaining. They should have been grateful. They should have been thankful for what the Lord had done for them. But yet, they continue with that. Somebody had made this suggestion to me at one time, and I actually did this a few years ago. But if you would, not right now, but later on, take about 10 minutes and start writing down everything that God has blessed you with. And you may be thinking, well, 10 minutes is a long time. And it may be slow at first as you begin writing those things down. But as you sit there, you're going to be writing and writing and writing. Next thing you know, the timer goes off and you're not done. That's exactly what happened to me as I began writing down all the things that God has blessed me with. Next thing I know, that was the quickest 10 minutes I've ever had because I've got so much more to write. So that's just a little activity to remind us of the things that the Lord has blessed us with. The next part of Ephesians 5 verse 20 that we want to look at is unto God and the Father. This part of the verse reminds us that God is the whom this thanksgiving should be given to. This is the God that we worship. This is the God that provides all good things. I'm turning over to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. I'm going to look at verses 17 and 18. James chapter 1, verses 17 and 18. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Of his own will he brought us forth by the truth, the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. We're reminded in verse 17, every good gift comes from God. Do we always remember what God has done for us? If we haven't, we need to be reminded of that. The final part of Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20, says, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Giving thanks is to be done in the name of Jesus Christ. Remember, as we approach God, it's by Jesus' authority. And that's something to be thankful for in and of itself. I'm turning over to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews 13, I'm going to look at verse 15. Hebrews 13, verse 15. Through him, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. And so we ought to remember that through Jesus Christ, we have these blessings that God has given us. Can we call God our Father? There are some that are here that have not named his name in baptism, have not obeyed the gospel. The gospel is for all. That's something else to be thankful for. We're, as far as I know, everybody here is Gentiles. Under the old law, we have no hope. But through Jesus Christ, we Gentiles, we have hope. We have a chance. We have the ability to come unto him. And it may be that the Lord, it through the scripture that we've talked about this morning and through the things that we're talking about tonight, it may be the Lord's working on your heart. Don't be stubborn anymore. Don't be stubborn. The Israelites were described as a stiff-necked people. Stephen was stoned because he described the people as a stiff-necked people. Don't be stubborn anymore. Let God's word cut you to the heart and obey the gospel before it's everlastingly too late. If you have any needs this evening, we ask you in the name of Jesus Christ to come forward while we stand and while we sing.